Today's gospel reading is from the book of John, beginning in the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw him. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name, seeing that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. I see a lot of children of God here, but not anyone yay high, right? So we won't have a children's sermon. But a part of the children's sermons is incorporated into this sermon, so we'll continue. So grace and peace to you from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday was Easter Day, a joyous day when we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. Last Sunday, we recalled the scene of the women at the empty tomb. We remember the women were alarmed because the stone had been rolled away and because of their encounter with a man who wore a white robe. The man in the white robe said to the women, "Do not be alarmed." And the man in the white robe then pointed out that the tomb was empty. The body is not there. Last Sunday, we rejoiced in the good news that Jesus is risen and alive, that death is dead, and that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the chosen one who loves us, saves us, and reconciles us to God. So we proclaim, Christ is risen. Good response. Gosh, previous pastors did a good job, right? So today, the Easter story continues into the evening. We heard today the traditional reading from John's Gospel about the gathering of Jesus' disciples on the night of the resurrection. The disciples were together in a house behind, get this, after the resurrection, locked doors. They were afraid of the Jewish authorities of the day. And unexpectedly, out of the blue, Jesus physically appeared to the disciples in that house. Jesus breathed and gave the Holy Spirit to those disciples who were present. However, Thomas wasn't present. And when told about Jesus' appearance, Thomas wanted to see Jesus for himself. Very familiar story, right? Thomas wanted to see the physical Jesus and to touch the wounds, the hands, the wound in the side. He wanted to touch the wounds. So Jesus came again, and Thomas believed. And this story revolves around two persons, Jesus and Thomas. Now, when we hear this story, we're initially drawn to Thomas. Why? Why would we be initially drawn to Thomas, as to opposed to any of the other disciples who were gathered in that room. There's a sense in this story that Thomas represents every follower, every believer, every disciple of Jesus. Thomas is, in essence, us. I think we all can identify with Thomas when he shared his doubt and asked his questions. Because, well, we've all had our doubts. We've all asked our share of questions. And having doubts and asking questions are a part of being human. We do what comes very naturally to us when we encounter that which we do not understand. And Thomas dared to do what we want to do, express our doubts and question Jesus. And on top of this, we live in a time when doubt and questions really are the norm. We've all experienced inaccurate information, lies, and half-truths. We've experienced people spinning stories to their advantage to present their position in the most positive fashion, especially during political campaigns or what's happening in government these days. There have been times when we wonder if we can trust what's being told us, whether it be on the internet, in a newspaper, in a newscast, or from a source. And I think we've all become skeptical of what's shared with us. And also, well, we live in a post-scientific age. We are taught to test our hypotheses, to think critically, right? We learn to ask questions. We experiment and observe what happens in that experiment. We then interpret our observations and the data provided for us. And again, we test our interpretation of the data with more experiments, and the list goes on and on and on as we try to make sense of the world around us, of the data we receive, and of the observations we see in the people around us. So we seek proof. We want to see the data. We want to check the observations. We question the witnesses. And we even go so far as to say, I want to see it with my very own eyes. I mean, that's part of what it means to be living in a postmodern, post-scientific age. So when we hear Thomas say, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. We resonate with Thomas. We understand where Thomas is coming from. We see that Thomas is us, and together we share our doubts and raise our questions. We are doubters with Thomas. Now, what was Jesus' response to Thomas's doubts? Jesus' response is very interesting and worth a closer look on our part. We know that Jesus appeared a week later to his disciples, and this time Thomas was present. And Jesus began again by saying, peace be with you. Sound familiar? Peace be with you. He said it when he first appeared. He says it at this point, and we say it every Sunday when we gather here. Peace be with you. And Jesus then addressed Thomas. And Jesus showed Thomas his hands and urged Thomas to touch the wounds in his side. And Thomas responded by confessing, my Lord and my God. For Thomas, this was indeed a statement of faith, a belief. Thomas saw Jesus for who he really is. And along with the physical appearance of Jesus and Thomas's confession, the other interesting thing is how Jesus responded to Thomas. Jesus greeted everyone by saying, peace be with you. And throughout this encounter, Jesus doesn't scold Thomas. Jesus doesn't express anger at Thomas, nor at Thomas's doubt. Jesus doesn't raise his voice. Jesus simply showed and encouraged Thomas to see and to touch. Jesus guided Thomas toward seeing and eventually to faith. There is a sense here that Jesus expected and acknowledged Thomas's doubt, and Jesus helped Thomas to move beyond doubt to faith. In other words, if Thomas, a disciple of Jesus, who was there from the beginning, can have doubts, well, guess what? We too can have doubts. I mean, the fact that Thomas is known as, get this, doubting Thomas, I think is a bad rap. I don't think that's what he is. Okay? I confess that I've had my moments of doubts. As a matter of fact, as I gather with fellow clergy, I have met any number of pastors who have their doubts, and I've met any number of parishioners, any number of really long-time practicing Christians who have their doubts. That's not the issue at this point. I mean, we all have doubts, so how do we deal with it? Doubts are expected. Doubts are normal for people who are on a faith journey. I mean, there are even times in my life I've had doubts about a thing called a call, and there are times where I've prayed to God, take away ordained ministry from me. Help me to be a realtor or a dentist or something like that. And you know what? Every time God has responded, guess what? You're still a pastor. Ha, 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 ha. I mean, that's how God responds to me at those moments of doubt. And there's a sense that faith and doubt really go hand in hand. Or Frederick Buechner, a writer and a Presbyterian pastor, wrote, doubt are the ants in the pants of faith. Did you get that? Doubt are the ants in the pants of faith. What spurs that faith? What moves us forward? What propels us to take a look at our faith and to wrestle with our faith and to act on our faith? It's the doubts. It's the stuff that we see and we wonder, what can we do about what's going on in the world around us and among us? Doubt has a way of spurring faith. And the amazing thing is that God doesn't let us stay in doubt. Did you notice that during Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to the disciples, he gave them the Holy Spirit? And for us who are followers of Jesus, that Spirit is the one that spurs the faith, that gives us the faith. So he gives them the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is at work to lead us to and to give us faith. The Holy Spirit meets our doubts and leads us to faith. When we read our scriptures, we see new things come out through those words. And that's the power of the Spirit working with our faith and dealing with what's in those words. Or when we encounter each other, do we see the face of Jesus in the other? Whether it be in a stranger, whether it be a member of the congregation, whether it be another Christian, whether it be a person that we meet on the street and we realize there's something special about that, or whether it's the person who extends a helping hand to us. Do we see the face of God and of Jesus there? Or in our prayer, in the midst of the silence, or in the midst of our speaking, do we experience Jesus there? Or here at worship, or as we receive the bread and wine of Holy Communion at those times, or when we help other folks, do we see again that face of Jesus in the stranger who surprises us, because that's where God is? Or as we live our lives, do we see God in many different places? And that's the faith at work, whether it be in a sunrise, a sunset, the sound, in the silence, in all around us. We are surrounded by God. And do we see that and notice that? We need to be attentive to the movement of God in our lives. I've noticed that there's a movement afoot about being present or being in the moment. And when we are in the moment, that is when God has an opportunity to meet us face to face in the midst of our doubts and in the midst of our faith. Faith gives us the eyes to see God's movement and work among us, around us, and in each of us. And if we see God, guess what? That means we have faith. If we're doing something on behalf of God, that means we have faith. And regardless of our doubts at that moment, we have faith, and that faith comes alive. Another way we deal with doubt is by living our faith and by being active in ministry. Notice how others express their faith through their lives. As we recall the lives of the people who have touched us, or the lives of saints, as a matter of fact, a common devotional is there is a book that has a story of a saint for 365 days of the year, a different saint. And the thing that always amazes me about these saints is we say they're saints, but they're ordinary people. They had their struggles. They had their doubts. They wrestled with God. But yet, we lift them up as examples of the faith. Doubters like us, but faithful people also. Remember Thomas, again, back to the person who gets the name Doubting Thomas. Tradition says that Thomas afterwards went to southern India, evangelized, and started a church there. When the Portuguese missionaries arrived in southern India, there were already Christians there waiting for them. And the South Indian Christians are known as, get this, St. Thomas Christians. Or you know who wanted to die on behalf of Jesus before Jesus died on the cross? It was Thomas. Let us go with him so that we can die with him. That's Thomas. That's the Thomas I like to think of. I mean, Thomas was the only one who dared to have doubt and express his doubt. None of the other disciples would have said it, would they? But it was Thomas who dared, and he went to India. Our doubts shouldn't prevent our ministry and service. Instead, our ministry and service helps us in working through and dealing with our doubts. in today's reading from John, recall that Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Doubts and all, faith and all, we are sent out to be the bearers of this good news. And the Holy Spirit sends us out into the world to live and to minister, and we go with our faith and doubts together. At the end of this worship service, at the dismissal, the assisting minister will say, go in peace, share the good news, and what's our response? Thanks be to God. Okay, so we're going to do it, regardless of how we're packaged, regardless of our doubt, regardless of our faith, just do it and see what happens. Mass is the word that the Roman Catholics use to describe this worship service, especially when one has Holy Communion. You know what Mass, what the Latin word is for Mass? It's the word missio, which means being sent. The purpose of our gathering here is to deal with our faith, to deal with our doubts, to remind us that God is present, to nourish us so that we can be sent out to the world. And there are congregations that have a sign above the door or on the exit sign to the church. You know what it says? This is where the worship begins. Worship doesn't stop here when we leave this building. It doesn't stop when we stop gathering. It begins when we continue and go out through those doors, out into the community, and live our lives. That is what we're about. Mother Teresa, the big story, remember, just before she died? What did Mother Teresa express? Her doubts. Here's a woman who expressed her doubts, but yet in the midst of her doubts, what does she do? She ministers. She is sent out and she acts. Service and ministry are ways that we can live into faith. And here at St. Paul Lutheran Church, there are a wide range of ministry possibilities where we can all serve and live into our faith. Or if it's not here, guess what one can do? Start a new ministry. It's very easy to do. Gather two other persons, and I'll help you start whatever you want to start here at St. Paul Lutheran Church. There are also ministry possibilities in the neighborhood around us. The opportunities to act and to grow in faith are available now and really is always available throughout our lives. Jesus constantly sends and offers us ministry opportunities, regardless of our faith, regardless of our doubts. They are always there. Are we willing to grab a hold of them and do something? And let's see what happens. Don't allow your doubts to prevent your participation in any ministry or any service that's being offered. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And the Holy Spirit gathers us and calls us to faith and sends us to serve. As Thomas did, as Mother Teresa did, and as every person who has stepped, who is part of the communion of saints gone before us. The writer of John's Gospel wrote, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. There you have it, the testimony of the gospel writer saying, I write so that you may believe and you may have faith. That's where it is. Jesus wrote, John wrote, and we believe. All of us have faith or else we wouldn't be here. All of us have our doubts or else we wouldn't be here. The Holy Spirit is with us, obviously, because we are here. And so we go forth into the world to live, to serve with faith and with doubts and with our well-being. Amen.